So this is my friend Jake from Red Door in San Diego. How many of you know Jake? Oh, about four. Great.
Well, fine.
Well, we have us as Southlands. It's pretty unique in how we relate to many different churches all over the world. It is unique for us being a non-denominational church to have relationship with so many churches around the world. And one of those churches happens to be Red Door down in San Diego. And Jake and Lindsay lead Red Door, and they've been leading it for a number of years now. How long?
We had our four-year anniversary this fall.
Four-year anniversary. Yeah. And they are their DNA is incredibly similar to ours at Southlands, really a community on mission, trying to reach the city, trying to reach the lost of the city, but building family along the way. So very similar to ours. But it's a great opportunity for someone like me if I know somebody down in the San Diego area looking for a church. We have a church, a couple churches down there that we could point them to. And just recently a guy asked me, hey, I have a friend who's in desperate need of community down in San Diego. Do you know anyone down there? And I'm like, absolutely, I do. And so I gave him Jake's email address, Jake and Andy, and he emailed, and the girl has now found community down in San Diego, which is an incredible thing, and that's why we partner together for the sake of the gospel. Yep. So this is Jake. He's going to lead us through Wonderful Counselor. Just one more bit, one more note. Nick will be preaching down there next Sunday at 4 p.m. So if any of you would like to join Nick down at Red Door in San Diego, please email Nick, and that would be amazing. Jake is also going through the same series, and he shall be called. I don't know what they're calling it, but
He shall be called.
And he shall be called, and also a journey through Isaiah 9. So if any of you would like to join Nick down at Red Door next week, feel free to do so. Jake, over to you, buddy.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Woo! Oh, thank you. Welcome. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for having me. Really privileged to be here with you. I remember when Chris and Nick and Kevin, these guys were just dreaming up Fullerton and praying with them and getting excited with them, but it's my first time here, so it's just great to be here with you guys as family. And as Kevin said, we're going through the same series with you. It's just something that God put on our hearts where the churches are great friends, and we just thought, man, it'd be really fun to be praying and preaching and working through this series together. And so I'm privileged to get this started off, and Nick's going to come next week, and we're just excited to walk through this together as family. And what we're going through is Isaiah chapter 9 with a focus on verse 6. In a little bit about Isaiah, this was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. It was written 700 years before Jesus was born, and it was written about Jesus. So it is prophetic in nature. It is future telling in nature. And part of what is so remarkable about Christmas and the birth of Jesus is that Isaiah is one of the books that has a ton of detailed predictions of what is going to happen. And then the Bible is later filled with eyewitness accounts. We have historical documents with eyewitness accounts saying that what they said was going to happen actually happened. And that's part of the reason that we our meeting today to see these words. There's great power in them. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Isaiah 9. I'll read verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Why don't we stand just to pray? And if I could just get maybe two or three of you, just pray out loud and ask the Lord to speak to us through this word today. Just two or three of you.
God, we have an open and ready heart to accept it.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to call you Father.
Yeah.
Thank you for revealing yourself to us, your Son, Jesus Christ. Please work in us by your Holy Spirit, and you might really grow and you change this word. Please speak to us deeply and clearly, God. Unite us, give us peace of mind, and just eliminate the distractions that we might be truly so.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just want to pray for those that are here that maybe it's their first time. Maybe they don't know Jesus. They're not sure who it is. They're checking it out. Just thank you for their courage to come and explore you today. I just ask that you would speak directly to their hearts. Show them who you are. God, and I pray for those of us that know you. Would you reveal yourself more clearly? Would you remove the distractions? Would you take away our arrogance that thinks I know all about the Christmas stories and this stuff? Would you move those to the side and make us humble and teachable, ready to hear from you? Let me pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I have a wife, Lindsay. She's fantastic. And then I have three kids, Ezra, Rosanna, and Jaya. Ezra will be four at the end of December. Rosanna's two, and Jaya is 1 year old. And so that's part of my circumstance in life right now. There are opportunities and issues that come with having three kids under four. One of those opportunities and issues is dinner time. See, the opportunity I have in mind for dinner time is that me and my wife and my kids are going to gather around the table, and it's just going to be this opportunity for deep discipleship and relationship with my children and wife. And I'm going to open up this little prayer book that we have, and we're going to pray it together and have a discussion. And my wife and I are going to be conversing, and when a child wants to speak, they say, you know, excuse me, mother, father, and yes, son, yes, daughter, and they're going to say something like, oh, this food is so delicious, and I'm so thankful, mom, for you cooking it, and dad, for providing for us. And I say, son, you know, the Lord really provided it all, and we're just going to worship him around the table, and it's going to be fantastic. And so that's the discipleship opportunity that I have in mind in this circumstance of being a parent. But the reality around the table is if we all get there at the same time, that's miracle number one. We're just like, yes. If we make it through the prayer without my son's just a total goofball, right? So we'll start praying, and I mean, I kid you not, at 1 year old, he could talk, and he would change the lyrics to worship songs to make them blasphemous because he thought it was funny. Like, I'd be laying him to bed, and we'd be singing, you know, Mighty to Save Over Him, and he'd just go, God's, and he'd just get this evil little grin, and he'd be like, not mighty to save, he's not mighty, and I'm like, oh, son, no. And so we'll be praying, be thanking the Lord, and he'll just say something like, not thank you, and just start laughing, and be like, oh, you evil child, we're just doomed. So we got that going on. My middle daughter, she's into this thing called pouching, which is she'll take a bite of her food, and then it'll just stay in her mouth forever, and there's not many things that drive me more nuts than that. I don't know, I'm just like, chew and swallow. And I literally have to put her on timeout and say, you can't come out of timeout until the food is swallowed. My youngest, she likes to eat for a little while, but then when she's done, what she decides is good is to just wipe everything off, you know. And my oldest also has this other habit. He's potty trained. He's very proud of his potty training, but anytime he has the inkling that he needs to go pee, he goes. And so he'll go like 40 times in a day. Like, he's just like, I'm going. We're like, do you have a bladder problem? But he's just particular that way, you know. So, and he just thinks it's so cool, and it is cool, but what's not cool, I mean, it's cooler than not being potty trained. What's not cool is the youngest will usually finish first, because we're still corralling the other two. The middle one usually poops her diaper sometimes during the meal. It's just like, that's the clockwork. And then what the youngest's favorite thing to do right now is anytime the bathroom door is open, she's just learned to walk. She walks like this. It's very cute. And she goes, it's much cuter than when I do it. And then the first thing she likes to do is unroll all the toilet paper. Just every one of my kids love to do that. They all went through the, like, every part of this has to go. And then she likes to go to the toilet and just splash. You know, so we're always trying to keep the bathroom door closed, closed, closed. But when the boy's getting up and down, all throughout the meal, she finishes first, so we're letting her play around. The one just stopped pouching, so she's back at the table, and then all of a sudden we remember. You just hear the splash. Where'd Jaya go? Where is she? Splash, splash, splash. Oh! And that's dinner time, you know? That's the reality of dinner time. And so we all have these different circumstances in life, right? And in those different circumstances, there are opportunities and there are issues. You can have, your circumstances could be that we have kids, and you have those issues and blessings, or maybe you're in a situation where you're like, man, I really want kids, but your issue is I don't have kids, right? Maybe you have a job and you have all the issues that come with a job. Maybe your issue is you don't have a job and you're trying to get a job. Maybe your issue is that you're in school and you got all the issues of school. Maybe your issue is that you're, well, actually being out of school is just great, right? Like once you're out, you're like, I'm out of here. All right, sorry, students. It gets better, just know that. You do just as much work, but you actually get paid for it, so it's nice. Maybe you have car issues. Maybe you have issues that you don't have a car, right? So we have issues, we have opportunities, we have these circumstances. They will be constantly changing for your entire life. So the question is, what are we to do with all this? What do we do with these changing circumstances, these opportunities, these issues? Well, we need counsel, right? We need counsel and advice for all the different circumstances and issues. Now, the thing is, there is zero shortage of counselors, right? Your friends will counsel you. Your family will counsel you. Strangers will counsel you. Movies, music, it'll all tell you what to do with your time and money. Advertising, right? It's Christmas time. Any one of you can just buy a product to solve everything for you and for others, right? That's just what the advertising will tell you. Anyone see Seinfeld's little speech at the Clio Awards? Someone had to see that. Oh, not a big Seinfeld crowd here. Well, this might bomb then. Anyways, they gave him an award. It's called a Clio. And it's like it's an award they give for advertising. It's like their little version of an Emmy and stuff. And he gave a little speech there. And the whole speech, he just ripped on the advertising industry. But I'll read you just one of these quotes he said. He said, "I love advertising because I love lying. I think spending your life trying to dupe innocent people out of hard-won earnings to buy useless, low-quality, misrepresented items and services is an excellent use of your energy." That's what he said. This at the speech, and they were actually cracking up at it because of Seinfeld. He can say anything, right? But it's true. You will get tons of counsel. Some of it is good. Some of it is misrepresented, useless, and awful, and you will get it all of the time. And the truth is, you're also counseling people all of the time. You might not even know it, but even just your example will counsel people. People look to your example and be like, maybe that's how I should dress, how I should act, the things that I should buy. And we're doing the same when we look at others. So all the time we are counseling, and all the time we are being counseled. And who we listen to, it actually really matters. Okay, it matters practically, it matters emotionally, and it matters spiritually. Have you ever been in a spot, it's just a brutal spot where you badly needed good counsel? And you just badly needed encouragement. I remember a time in my life, it was one of the hardest times in my wife and I's marriage. We've been trying to have children for over a year, and we finally got pregnant. We are just celebrating and so excited, and we ended up miscarrying that child, and it was just devastating for us, just heartbroken and wrestling with God, and the loss and the grief was brutal. And I remember the next day going to work and talking with the coworker a little bit about what happened. They had heard, because I went home early the day before, actually. I got the phone call from my wife while at work, and I went home. And so the next day at work, talking to this coworker, and the coworker just kind of looked at me flippantly and said, oh, that's why you don't tell people you're pregnant until after the first trimester. And so I'm just at this, you know, low point. I need, like, warmth, encouragement, and that's what I get, you know? And it was just kind of like this, you know, just gut wrencher, and it was horrible counsel. It was not what my heart needed to hear at that time, and I actually don't agree with the counsel, because Scripture talks about this. It says, "Rejoice with those that rejoice, and mourn with those that mourn." And when we got pregnant with our firstborn son, there was about 2 weeks where we didn't celebrate because we were scared from the last time. And the Lord came and spoke to me and said, "Rejoice with those rejoice, mourn with those mourn." I repented to my wife, we told our friends, and we celebrated. Because the truth of the matter is, God, in his sovereignty, could take any one of my children on any day. So should I enjoy them less today because of that reality? And the first trimester, yes, statistically, we celebrated when we got past that. With both of our pregnancies, with both of our children that were born, our third child that she's adopted. And we celebrated when we got past the first trimester, just as we celebrated throughout the process, and we celebrate each kid's day. But the thing is, if you go through tragedy and no one was able to celebrate with you, then who's going to be there to mourn with you? And she made it, this coworker gave me terrible counsel, but there were many that came around and gave me the counsel I needed in that moment. And they mourned with us because they had celebrated with us.